The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Builder, helping you to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I am very excited today to be on this show with my co-host, Galen Bingham and Dr. Peter James, talking about the principles in the book, Think and Grow Rich. Today's show, we're talking about the brain, your brain. Your brain, which is a broadcasting and a receiving station for your thoughts. Have you ever thought about how do you use your brain? And as we're going to discuss today with our special guest, Captain LaPonda Fitzpatrick, we're going to talk about how do you find positivity in different situations. So we welcome you to another episode of the International Masterminders Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Conversation. But right now, we're going to talk with our co-hosts, have you learn a little bit about them. Then we're going to go and discuss the 13 steps and principles of this book, Think and Grow Rich. And then we will start with the conversation about the brain. So good morning, Galen. And good morning, Peter, if you can share in that order a little about yourself as we kick the show off today.
Yes, good morning. Good morning. I am really, really excited. This is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist, and I am a certified executive coach who specializes in helping leaders crush their most important goals and conquer stubborn problems. And this, you know, I love this book. This book really talks about a lot of really, really interesting concepts. Some of them seem like they should be kind of in the daha category, that we should know about them. But the brain, I think as much as we've studied the brain, we probably know the least about the brain. So I am really excited about this conversation and hearing from our guests. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right, and Dr. Peter James.
Good morning, all. Thank you so much for having me this morning, and I am so excited today to talk to Captain LaPonda and my distinguished co-host here about this phenomenal book, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. My name is Dr. Peter James. I am the High Performance Coach. I am a business and leadership coach who focuses on taking you and your business to the next level. But today we're going to talk about the brain. And, you know, as Galen just mentioned there a little bit, we don't know anything about this mass that sits on top of our bodies. And but there's so much unknown that we can utilize on our day-to-day, if that makes sense. But we'll dive into that a little bit. I'm so excited to be here, Ann. And looking forward to chatting with our phenomenal guest.
All right. Well, before we get to our guest, we're going to talk about the 13 principles. And we're going to ask everybody that's listening in, please follow the show, International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Show, and Right now, we're going to go to that 13 principles, and we will be right back.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically. But we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number eight. Step number nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us. Use the thoughts, use the knowledge, use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
Now just think about that. Just think about your brain. Wow. 13 principles for success as espoused by Napoleon Hill in this wonderful book entitled Thinking for Rich. But today's focus is not just the brain, but it's your brain. And in my reading of this chapter, one of the things that jumped out at me and just resonates is the fact that the energy that exists in the brains of others forms a broadcasting station to my brain and induces the energy that then turns back around as I receive that energy and forms what I am learning as a broadcasting station between the two. Now, with all of that being said, when I met LaPonda in the National Speakers Association Black NSA Mastermind Group as a part of a coaching process that I do with a system that I use called the McNeil Factor Mastermind, where we walk through this book with a group of speakers, one chapter per week, LaPonda's energy is so contagious that it just drew me in. And I want you to know, LaPonda, as we bring you on to share a little bit about yourself, I am truly honored to be on the show with you today, because out of the 10 weeks that we shared, along with about almost 30 other individuals who are masterminding, you always had something to share, every chapter. And you never waited until somebody else had something. It was like, ooh, 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 ooh. So let me just share with our listeners who I am referring to. She is called Captain, and you can actually call her the Captain. Captain LaPonda Fitzpatrick is the owner and senior consultant of her human resources management organization in the aviation, security, and law enforcement area for training. LaPonda is an internationally recognized aviation security and law enforcement expert. She has a passion for human resources and the management of that, and she has a focus on non-discrimination, gender equality, diversity, and inclusion. That says a lot, LaPonda. She also helps organizations improve their service to both their internal and external customers and clients. So with that being said, we're going to have you come on, LaPonda. First of all, welcome to the show. And if you would share with our listeners a little about yourself, and then we will go on with the dialogue. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Anne, and I hope you all can hear me well. First of all, when I met Anne, I was in a space with my consulting service where I did not understand my true value. And Anne walked me through that for those 10 weeks to let me know that I am valuable. I always had a problem, and I think we spoke about this, Anne, with money, because I always thought that, you know, it's about the work. The money comes second. But what Anne was able to, through the brain, and every time I have this issue, I think back what Anne said. I try to channel her. And she said, without thinking about how much money you need, you can't provide the service. Eventually, you won't get there. You will not be able to travel. And ultimately, you're not going to be able to help people. And so I'm one of those folks that I'm type A. And I think Anne kind of explained that to you all. I am excited every day I'm breathing because I love the world. I love people. But I had never been in a process like a mastermind. I was always the leader, right? And sometimes I led from behind, but I was the person that was always transmuting goals. And I don't think I ever stopped to think, well, maybe I need to be with other like-minded people. And so when I joined this mastermind, I can tell you that I looked forward to it, that my brain changed, and I start looking at myself as first of all, very worthy of everything I accomplished and everything I've done. And then secondly, that I needed more good people around me because I was virtually alone. And so Pegeen and Misty and all of those folks that were on my mastermind and Richard, I think about them daily, and I pray that they're thinking about me as well. And so I've learned to use my brain in a totally different way, even as I have grown older. The second thing I can tell everyone here, whether you're young or old, whether you're in your whether you're doing this for your personal growth or whether it's for business growth, you have to have a mastermind group. You have to join a group of like-minded people, because I can tell you the positivity that comes out of it, what you're hearing now, I am a better person, I am a better facilitator, I am a better trainer, and I'm a better person because I know I can pick up the phone or I can even think about issues that are going on in my life, and I know there are people there for me. Do not go it alone. And this mastermind process and this book, I think, Anne, we were talking about this, this book could be written for today. That's how important it is. And I'm rereading it again right now. So thank you for having me here today.
Absolutely, absolutely, Little Ponder. But what we want to do now is have you share with us, how did you get to this point in terms of being the captain? I mean, where are you from? What motivated you to take the step to serve, if you will?
So as a little girl, and I, literally it starts as a little girl, but as a little girl, I was always the helper. When I was on my block, I helped everyone. I gave away everything. Things weren't important to me. And then I had a wonderful opportunity. I grew up in the city of Los Angeles, and Mayor Tom Bradley, and I know a lot of you also know about that, a strong civil rights leader. He developed a program for young African-American kids in South Los Angeles, and it was called the CETA program. And so I started there as a pool attendant, and then I was a lifeguard. See, early on, I was a unicorn because, we a lot of people don't think that, African-Americans swim, right? Well, we do. And so I was a lifeguard for over eight – yeah, I was a lifeguard. They don't think we swim. We do, and we're seeing this now. I can't wait for the Tokyo Olympics. But, again, I was a life – and then I turned into a lifeguard for 8 years. I worked for the city of Los Angeles, ironically, all of my life. And then I joined the Los Angeles Airport Police Department. And it was really pretty much in its infancy. And as it grew, I grew with it. And the organization that I started with had 82 people. And when I retired, it was 1,100. So as you can see, I'm used to working extremely hard and growing, but I don't think I took care of myself in that. So I had an opportunity to learn so much from my organization. I had 10 bad days, and I can tell you I can count each and every one of them. I had 3 bad days, of course, when the events of 9/11 happened, where the world stopped for 3 days. There were no discoveries. There was nothing moving. There was no sharing of ideas. We were all waiting for the next shoe to drop. But I was at work that day, okay? I was at work after that day because guess where I was at that time? I was in Europe. And so I had to rush back home so I could take care of Los Angeles World Airports and other airports in the system. And then 3 days when my police officer was killed, my best friend, that was killed in a horrific incident that occurred. And then 3 bad days because guess what? You know, every day is not perfect, but every day that we wake up is beautiful. And then the last day, and this is where I go to, it was because of management. And I have to take credit for that because guess what? I was management. But I can tell you I loved my career. I love the people I worked with because every day We facilitated freedom, we facilitated commerce, and we kept the aviation system as safe as we possibly can. And what I, the last thing I'll tell you about where I worked, I took the opportunities to do everything. I played with our SWAT team. I was over our canine unit. There's nothing like a dog, right? Everybody needs a dog. And our explosive detection unit. So I did a lot of work at LAX. And it was a wonderful career, but I also knew that I had worked there for 31 wonderful years, and then I retired. But I wasn't ready to go into the mothballs yet. And I knew that from what I had learned, and I can tell you that when you embrace your profession and every opportunity of it, you learn a lot. And I can tell you that working there, I learned a lot. I learned how to read from reading blueprints to teaching people how to deal with people that don't look or may not act like them. Because what I learned there, more so than anywhere else, is that people come into your space with all kinds of issues that may be playing out in their hearts, their minds, their families, their jobs, and that we have to be patient, we have to be understanding, but we also have to be ready. And so that's what I learned, and that's what I continue to instill in the training that I give now. Ironically, I'm training today. I am actually training at an airport, and I can tell you it has really helped me through a very trying week.
All right. Well, we're going to go to a brief commercial. We're going to have our co-host come on and participate in this dialogue, and then we're going to talk a little about that trying week. Thank you.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right. And we are back talking with the captain, Captain LaPonda Fitzpatrick. And for those of you that may have joined a little late, LaPonda received a Bachelor's of Arts in Sociology from UCLA with a concentration on globalization and diversity. She was an ardent student in sports and enthusiast, and she coached men's basketball and co-ed softball teams for the Los Angeles Airport Police for many years. And so, LaPonda, we're really excited to have you on. And Galen's going to come on and share, and then Peter, as we begin our dialogue. Galen?
Well, LaPonda, it's so great to have this conversation with you. Thank you so much for your service, both in the military as well as outside. So just really, really appreciate everything that you've done for the country. I have a question about how you've used the mastermind process. I am in the process of finishing out one mastermind that I lead called Inspired Mastermind. And we've had some people in our groups that have delivered and realized almost 50% of their stretch goals that they thought was absolutely impossible when they set those goals at the beginning of the 10-week process. And now they're closing in on delivering almost 50% of those impossible goals. So my question to you is, how has the mastermind process stimulated your brain and inspired creativity as well as results?
Thank you. And just as a point of clarification, I think we'll discuss this a little later, but I myself was not in the military, but I did have a family member that was in the military, and I think we're going to discuss that a little later. But the mastermind process, it actually put me in touch with like-minded people. So we a lot of times we think because we're in a group or that we're at work that our colleagues are whom we usually deal with. But what I found that when you are outside of maybe your normal groups and you go into a group that is really looking to be positive, that are have the same goals that you do, and you may have never met them before, but when it put me in touch with those like-minded peoples, I was able to receive positive exposures and allow that auto-suggestion. Because remember, one of the things we have to understand is our unconscious brain is always working. It is working overtime. It collects everything that it has sense for. So when I was working with my mastermind group, it allowed me to thrive. It allowed me to take the information that they were providing to me, and not only was I processing it consciously, but also subconsciously. Because we know that in the subconscious brain, that when we are alert, over 50 million pieces of information are coming to us, but we only have the ability to consciously understand 40. And to really have a cognitive use of about 7. So we went from 50 to 50 million pieces to 40 to 7. And I can tell you, when you're with positive people, you need that 50 million pieces of information to be positive. Otherwise, it can overwhelm you. Maybe not in that second, but later. And so I'll talk to one person that Pagin, who is one of your co-hosts. I can tell you every time she came on in our group, that positivity emanated throughout us and it carried us through the week. And if you have never spoke with Anne, please do. Because what she talked to us about, it was able to resonate throughout our week. I was able to accomplish goals I didn't think I was able to do. I was able to gain an additional layer of confidence. I am a confident person on the outside, but internally, I was dealing with some internal issues about my own self-worth, about my own ability, and I was not one to even begin to not even just look at my horn, but to toot it. It didn't happen. And so when I heard other great people that said, no, that's okay. There is a difference between being confident and being arrogant. And I was in a group of confident people that had no arrogance. And so that transmuted to me. And I can tell you, through this process and reading this book and being in contact with great people like you all, I am a much more confident person, and it's taught me that, yes, I can say no because I don't need that because you're not valuing my worth.
Fantastic job of describing and bringing to life the pure magic that happens in a mastermind group, and I'm just really, really excited that your energy is part of this. And to your point about the impact that that has on your brain and helping you process all of these thoughts, all these pieces of information that are coming at you that you just – we simply don't have the capacity to process all of that information, and that's the value of a mastermind group. So thank you so much.
Yes.
Go ahead, LaPonda.
Yeah, it's the positivity. We forget. Sometimes we are in such a negative space. And in today's environment, we are in such a negative space right now. We are so polarized, and it's a negative space. And whether or not – and I come from a law enforcement background, and I understand how sometimes we become so polarized there are so many great people that work in law enforcement, and it is a phenomenal job. But there is a lot of negativity that comes into play that I don't think we process very well. And that's one of the reasons why I've continued to work. And I've continued to work with law enforcement organizations because I think that we have to, it's that issue that we have forgotten that every contact that we make, we have to look at it with a positive intent. And when you, and that's one of the things that the mastermind really taught me. It was taught to me about positive intent and positive people around you and what is their intent. So thank you. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Go ahead, Ann. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you.
Oh, no problem. Listen, I want to just remind everybody, we're actually opening up this chapter with the brain, discussing the brain. And I just want to share, before we go to Peter, what Napoleon Hill has to say about the brain. And he talks about the fact that, this is the first page, he talks about the fact that under the right circumstances and in a fashion that may be likened to that employed by radio broadcasting principle, every human brain is capable of picking up thought impulses which originate in the brains of others. This is what LaPonda is discussing. This is what Galen was asking about the question, because in a mastermind group, you are picking up thought impulses which originate in the brains of others. Let me say it again. In a family member's situation, at work, in your place of worship, in your civic organization, in your interactions with people, your brain is just like a broadcasting and a receiving station. It is capable of picking up thought impulses which originate in the brains of others. And if those thought impulses are positive, you're going to get positive back in terms of what you're sending out. If those thought impulses are negative, guess what? That's what you're going to get. So with that, Peter.
Yes, wow. I'm just sitting here listening to everyone, the dialogue, and this discussion, this chapter, first of all, about the brain, it has me even more perplexed. But then I'm perplexed, but then I understand. And my understanding part of it is what I'm injecting into my brain. And LaPonda, you have really characterized how you have to almost inject positive impulses into your brain on a regular basis, because the previous chapters in this phenomenal book have talked about the negative impulses, thought impulses come about very easily in our brains. But it's important for us to be able to surround ourselves with phenomenal partners, coworkers, colleagues, masterminds that can bring that positivity, that can help us to inject those positive impulses for the betterment of our goals, our dreams, our visions, and or for that matter, whatever we're working on as well. But LaPonda, I'm curious, especially as it relates to this brain and this brain chapter, what are some of the things that, or the differences that you have experienced in how your brain processes how you feel about yourself or others? Because again, our brain does things to us. It's almost like we have to control it. But what are some ways that you've been able to manage it, to experience it, relative to your own self and your own career, or even others you associate with?
Well, I'll go back to the last page of this chapter, and it says that all individuals have become what they are because of their dominating thoughts and desires. And if we really take a step back and look at our life's journey, whether it's a personal journey or whether it's a work-related journey, we have to understand that the people that are the closest to us that we associate with must be positive. They, even though, you know, you may have a great plan. So, you know, the book is really focusing on planning, writing that planning down, write that affirmation down, do check-ins, right? And that also stimulates your brain. But if you don't have positive people around you, if you're not taking in all the positive through your brain, it can derail you. And I had to take a step back and really look over my life and look at where I derailed myself because I allowed these negative thoughts, and I was around some negative people. And so when I realized that the brain, how important it was, even though I teach to the brain, I think Napoleon Hill taught me that it's more than just teaching to the brain. It's constantly massaging it. And so if those that may be a part of your process, of your decision-making processes, your home life, your work life are not positive, you have to share them. You have to shed them because remember, even if you're not speaking, your brain is still picking up as a receiver. And that is what I didn't understand. So even though I may not even be thinking about something, their negative thoughts are coming to me. And especially if you've lived with them for a long period of time. So what I learned was that don't let those negative thoughts process. And keep the positive ones, order your steps toward everything that's positive. And when you do that and you really find yourself on that conscious level, your unconscious will take care of itself.
You know, while you were mentioning that, it made me think that we often don't even recognize the negative individuals around us. Especially if they've been around us for a long time, whether it is friends, family, acquaintances, or colleagues. We sometimes don't realize their negative or their negative mindset until we take a step back and analyze who we are and who is that around us. And I encourage those who are listening to really listen to what LaPonda has been saying here, because you really have to, it's really a little bit of introspection and even the mastermind that she's referring to, it's so important. If you are really aiming and to get to that next level, aiming for success, aiming for whatever stretch goal that you're trying to achieve, who is that mastermind around you? And how are they going to help you to get there? So, you know, LaPonda, you alluded to that really quick. I'm going to hog another question from Ann there. How is the mastermind benefited you as you reflect to where how you've gotten to where you are?
Well, basically, it really, again, it's taught me how you have to control your brain. Even though you have these 13 steps, those steps cannot be ordered without the brain. So it's really one of the most important things. It touches on everything else that we learn within the book. But more importantly than that, it taught me that you do not have to allow your environment to control you. And sometimes it's an environment of your own making. And I was one of those people. I'm a self-deprecating person. I have been all my life, but I don't need to be. I am who I am, and I believe that I've worked extremely hard for my knowledge base, my accomplishments in my prior career and in my future career. So it's taught me you don't have to let your environment and even the one you've created all of your life continue to control you. When you open your mind and you feed it positive thoughts, you will receive positive thoughts that you can utilize to move your career, move your life goals, move your family forward. And that's what this is what it's taught me. It's taught me that there are people, there are like-minded people out there that you can join with in these masterminds that can really help you. And at no matter what your age is, Anne was talking about in our mastermind how she brought her young children in. I want to bring my 11-year-old granddaughter in because I think it's important to her. She already knows what her future is. She's extremely interested in robotics. She's working towards it. She's made some moves that have surprised her parents and me alone. But I think that this is a good process for her as well. And if anyone's out there listening, this would be a great book. And if you know of one, that should be translated to our children. Because right now there are so many negative things that they are gathering through technology, through the media. And we need to pull that back and let them concentrate on what a positive future can look like and ensuring that they're surrounding themselves with positive people.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing.
Wow. LaParda and Galen and Peter and all of our listeners, we want to remind everybody, if you would like to participate in this conversation, please just press 1 on your dial on your phone and we can bring you in, because you are listening to the International Masterminders Think and Grow Rich Blog Talk Radio podcast and a conversation as we're discussing the brain. We're going to go to a brief commercial, and then we're going to come back and pick up a couple more questions and comments. But for our listeners, just press 1 on your dial if you'd like to participate in this conversation.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
All right, we are back. We're back, and we're talking with Captain LaParda Fitzpatrick. And we're talking about the brain. And when you think about the brain, I'd like to share something else that Napoleon Hill said as he discussed how we can connect, the subconscious mind, creative imagination, and auto-suggestion. And I'd like to have you, LaParda, if you can share with us, how does your passion for your work relate to these three principles when you talk about how you share them and use them in controlling your broadcasting station, especially when you're at work? Can you share with us your thoughts on that?
Yes, and I am one that I don't know how other people in the room that I am consulting with or maybe providing training with or maybe providing a keynote for, I don't know how they're feeling today, because this may be the first time that I've met them. But I know that when I come into the room and I am positive and I am upbeat, that my positivity can actually be transmuted to them. They may not even be aware of it. There are a lot of times when I'm providing this training, people will come up and say, thank you, you were very energetic, because it makes me feel good as well. So just as much as they're feeding off of my energy, I am feeding off of my energy, and I'm also getting theirs. So that's how I learned how this works, and I never quite understood that, because, like I said, when I'm in front of someone, when I'm helping them, I am at my happiest. Other than with my husband, that is my second happiest time. And so that's why I continue to do the work. So I think that's how it works. But I also have to look at something else that was in this chapter that really hit home for me. And that is, sometimes we, when we're going out and we're working, we put on a different hat, don't we? We're not the person that we may be with our family members or even with our colleagues. It just depends on where we are. But there was something in the book that really hit home for me, and I highlighted it a couple of times. And it stated that perhaps we shall learn as we pass through this age that the other self is more powerful than the physical self we see when we look in a mirror. And so when we stand in front of our clients, we are that other self, because they're looking at us but not the way we look at ourselves. And so if we maintain that positivity, both internally and I also say externally, because I think that what we feel in the heart and the mind shows on our face and in our body language, we make better employees. If we're an employee, we make better leaders and employers. And so utilizing these principles and understanding how we, through our brain, impacts other people, I think it makes us better. And so that's, and then we can transfer our better selves, that other self, to our clients, and they will then have you back.
Wow, it's interesting you shared that, because that is highlighted in my book, it's circled, it's underlined, and for the benefit of the listeners, and I'll just read what it says prior to that, so that you can get what LaPonda and I and so many other people got from reading this. He talks about, Napoleon Hill talks about, and for those of you that are using the same book, we're using the Restored Revised Version on page 221, under the section called The Greatest Forces Are Intangible. Going to her point, the book says, the world has been brought to the very borderline of an understanding of the forces that are intangible and unseen. Throughout history, people have depended too much on their physical senses and have limited their knowledge to physical things they could see, touch, weigh, and measure. Now, this goes to her point. We are now entering the most marvelous of all ages, an age which will teach us something of the intangible forces of the world about us. Perhaps we shall learn as we pass through this age that the other self is more powerful than the physical self we see when we look in the mirror. Sometimes people speak lightly of these intangibles, these things they cannot perceive through any of the five senses. And when we hear people speak, it should remind us that all of us are controlled by forces which are unseen and intangible. So thank you so much for that point, LaPonda, because when I read this, I never thought about the fact that my other self is also a spiritual self. And just like I feed my body physical food, I must feed my spiritual self spiritual food that feeds the subconscious and the brain, and that food is going to the point you made about the subconscious mind, the creative imagination, and the auto suggestion. We feed the brain with affirmations, the self-confidence formula, auto suggestion. Whatever any of you who are listening to us, whatever statements that are true and positive and pure, those are the things you want to focus on feeding your other self so that it can grow in a very positive and strong way to offset the negative side of the other self, because that other self has a positive and it does have a negative side. And LaPonda, thank you again for that response. And we're going to go back to Galen. And after Galen, we're going to talk about an event we have coming up. But again, those of you who are listening, if you'd like to participate in the conversation, thank you so very much for joining. Just press 1 on your dial and we will bring you in. Galen?
Yeah, you know, I just really appreciate how you're bringing this chapter to life and how you are highlighting the fact that there's so much information circling around us if we're willing to tune into it. And the fact that when we don't understand something, we often designate it to the category of being spooky, mystical, scary, not quite real. But in the book, particularly on page 223, Napoleon Hill starts talking about what is telepathy. and how it really is tuning into that energy, tuning into the thoughts of other people, and how you can actually make physical things happen just by tuning into the other part of yourself, as you and Anne were talking about. So my question to you is, how have you experienced utilizing infinite intelligence in order to achieve some of your goals? How have you tapped into this extrasensory part of yourself to achieve some of your goals?
So I want, I'm glad that you brought up the telepathy part, because again, like I say, it seems mystical, but it's really, really not. And it's actually a part of the factor. But I want to go to, and I'm reading the original book, but it's off of my Kindle where I am today. And it's on our page 220, and it says, "Thus, you will see that the broadcasting principle is the factor through which you mix feeling or emotion with your thoughts, and you pass them on to your subconscious mind." And so when they taught us about affirmation, and I'm like, oh, you know, I remember some of that in a course that I took about religions. And one of the biggest things, you know, we were speaking about all the different religions and how they have their prayer, their meditation. And that's what I found that this actually was. See, when we write our affirmations, when we start reading them, as if you can sense and absorb the information, you're not just speaking to yourself. You're speaking to that infinite intelligence. And it was ironic. So the first time I read my affirmation, I'd written it down and I read it aloud to my mastermind group. And I thought about it for a second. At the end of it, I said, "Amen." Because it's a prayer, or it's a spiritual affirmation. That's what it is. And so when you do that, we know how important meditation, prayer is to our mind and body. As Anne said, we're feeding it. So your senses, they can absorb that information and process it into action. And remember, there's an old adage that, you know, if you take one step, I'll take two. So when you do this, you're allowing, you're speaking aloud, you're reading your affirmation, and you're allowing infinite intelligence not only to take those two steps, but also to walk along with you along your way. And so it's, we think it's some mystical thing, and it actually isn't. It is what humans have been doing since time immemorial, and that is we pray. And that's what your affirmation is, because understanding that everything that you do is going to help someone else, whether it's your family, whether it's your friend, whether or not it is the people that you're working with. And so when you can process it into action, your brain can turn a positive thought into a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it can do that as easily as it can turn into a negative self-fulfilling prophecy. So controlling both your conscious and your unconscious mind and being open to those positive thoughts, because when you're meditating, that infinite intelligence comes to you, comes to your heart and comes to your mind. And some of your best ideas that will not only sustain your business but sustain your goals come to you in those moments. And so, this is a way to really have a daily prayer.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm going to turn this back over to Anne, but it reminds me of something that my brother says often. My brother is an ordained minister. He's a psychologist. He does a whole bunch of other things. But one of the things he says a lot is that you don't have to believe in a principle for that principle to be true. If you don't believe in gravity, whether you believe in it or not, if you jump off a 13-story building, gravity is going to take over. So I absolutely agree with everything that you just shared. So back to you, Anne.
All right. And actually, Galen, we're going to go back to you and share our commercial regarding the annual meeting. And before the commercial starts, just want to remind everybody that we're approaching a time of year that most people talk about goal setting. As a part of the International Masterminders Think and Grow Rich process, and I like to call it the McNeil Factor, we'd like to focus on goal achievement. And so we're going to play this commercial, we're going to come back, and our co-hosts are going to share the aha moment from our discussions about the brain. We're going to ask LaPonda to share with you how you can reach her, and if she has any products or services that she'd like to promote. So, Galen, let's go ahead and tee up that commercial.
Are you having problems adhering to your goals? Is your life coming to a standstill because of procrastination and failure to meet deadlines? You can change that by attending the International Mastermind Association Annual Accountability Meeting on January 4th of 2020. Our meeting will enlighten you and help you grow rich. Commence your year with an effective blueprint developed with accountability expert Ann McNeil. Attend this meeting and transform your life by listening to her teachings on changing your thinking and growing rich. Our annual meeting gives you a chance to reestablish your purpose and focus on your goals. Get renewed and inspired by attending this meeting at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Purpose to attend and learn to develop a successful and effective blueprint of success in thinking and growing rich. Do not come alone. Tag along with family and friends. Simply register at www.internationalmasterminders.com/events. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow our page and post your questions or comments.
All right, and we are back. And we will plan to see all of you in January on the night of the 3rd, but definitely on the day of the 4th. And we're asking you to bring your life in writing as we discuss our goals for the year. And that includes every area of your life with your families. So, Galen, Peter, your aha moments from our awesome guests and the show today.
Boy, this has been another incredible opportunity to deep dive into this incredible classic. And some of the things that I really got from this conversation was about how we process information. And one of the things that I've known this is not new information, but LaPonda really highlighted for me is the fact that our brain never stops. There's no such thing as turning off our brain, whether we're conscious or whether we're sleeping or whether we're chilling in front of the television. Our brain is always processing information, whether we know it or not, and it's so important that we be mindful of the information that we're feeding it, the people that we're around, because we pick up on their thoughts, whether we're conscious of it or not. And one of the things that Peter highlighted for me is that sometimes, you know, that influence, that negativity could come from family, and you're not even aware of it. But it's important to be mindful of the information that we're receiving because our brain is constantly processing. The last thing I'll share, and this is someone that I've just gotten tuned into. His name is Sadhguru, and he is an Indian mystic. And one of the things that he says is that nothing has meaning until I assign meaning to it. And therefore, why would I ever assign a negative meaning to what I experience? And Captain LaPonda really brought that to life for me today.
Wow, and you just said something that I had to write down, and that is mindful. Just think about mindful. M-I-N-D-F-U-L. M-I-N-E-F-U-L. All right, Peter.
Yeah, wow. So first of all, I just want to say, LaPonda, you brought some energy this morning that I think is very contagious. I know it's contagious to me. I know it sounds like it's contagious to my distinguished co-host here, and I'm hoping so much that it's contagious for those who are listening in on this phenomenal show. This is one of the shortest chapters of Think and Grow Rich, speaking of the brain. And to piggyback off of what Galen was saying, while the brain, there's so much unknown about it, we have such control over it. And as he mentioned there, that the brain is always working, even when you think it's not. So if you're sitting in front of the television watching nothing, and when I say nothing, garbage, your brain is taking that in and doing something with it. It's impacting you in some form or some fashion. And I think it's important for us to be extremely cognizant of what is coming into our brain on a regular basis. And LaPonda, it sounds like you've figured out that niche, that what to surround yourself with to ensure that what's coming into your brain always ends in positivity as it comes back out as well. So kudos to you. That was a big insight for me as well.
Wow. Well,
that was awesome. Absolutely.
All right, LaPonda, go ahead. Share it.
So
also share with us. I'm sorry, go ahead and then once you're finished, and share with us how the audience can reach you.
Okay, great. So that is awesome. You're absolutely right. And it took me back. When you both of you were talking, it took me back to page 127 that says, if you do not conquer self, you will be conquered by self. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, because how often do we allow our brains to conquer us? That puts in those negative thoughts, you can't do that, you're not good enough for that. And then we pick them up through our social media feed, sometimes what we see on television, we compare ourselves to others. And so what the aha moment in particular about this, again, is that we are always broadcasting and receiving. And so our job is really to make sure that we're putting ourselves in the most the most positive light. And when we find negativity, move away from it. When that light becomes dark, don't be afraid to say no, that's not for me. Don't be afraid to tell others, no, you're not for me. Because you are constantly getting fed. And sometimes it'll choke you. And so you can't go through that life like that. You have to go through life eating what you need so your body and your mind can grow, and that you can make a greater connection with not only your other masterminds, not only through out of suggestion, but ensuring that you are always listening for what infinite intelligence is trying to tell you. And so those are my aha moments. You can reach me. My website is trainingfortherealworld.com. And so you can reach me there. Go on my website. You'll be able to see my offerings. In this time, one of the things that I have recently created was a psychological preparedness class, especially for first responders. And I'll be giving that presentation in Las Vegas fairly soon to the Airport Rescue and Firefighters Working Group. And one of the things that I pride myself on is I am a researcher. So I love to research people, places, organizations, and things. And then I create very tailored training, keynotes, and other materials for them. So if you're looking for an very experienced trainer with over 25 years, and someone like me that really thinks about what I'm doing for my clients, just reach out to me on trainingfortherealworld.com.
Wow. A phenomenal show, phenomenal co-host, phenomenal guest. And we want to thank all of our listeners, our you know, those people that are just so committed that every single week they continue to chime in, join in, and listen in. So we want to thank all of you for participating with us. We will be back here next week talking about the brain again. And as Peter mentioned, it's a short chapter, but it is full of information about the thoughts, the brain, the subconscious mind, your creative imagination, your auto-suggestion, and actually all of this really starts with what is it that you desire. And so with that, do we have any other comments from any of our co-hosts before we plan to wrap up the show and prepare for next week's show? All right.
No,
not hearing any.
Incredible conversation.
And thank
you
guys
you.
For having me. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed it. And again, like I said, this is a week that has been challenging. Today isn't a challenging day for me, as I lost my father-in-law this week, who was 101 and a Pearl Harbor survivor. So please keep him in your hearts and in your prayers, and to understand he had a phenomenal life. And I just want to thank you guys for this opportunity to share some of my thoughts with you and your audience.
All right, Naponda, we want to
thank you
for sharing with us. Yes. Thank you for sharing with us how you have been able to find positivity in a very difficult situation and during a very difficult time. So we're going to keep you in our thoughts, our hearts, and our prayers and meditations. And to all of our listeners, the same to you. So everybody have a good day, and we will end with the commercial and see you next week. Same place, same channel. Bye.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.